All right, so today we're diving into something pretty cool. It's called BERTorch.
BERTorch.
And yeah, it's this deep learning framework, and people are saying it's super fast, like especially if you're working on just like your own computer, not like some big server farm or whatever.
Yeah, it's turning heads because it's really going against the grain, right? You've got these big frameworks that are kind of the standard, but BERTorch is all about being lean and mean,
Yeah.
efficient,
Lean and mean. I like that. So I guess the question is like, how does that actually work? How do you get that efficiency, especially in deep learning, where it feels like everything's always getting bigger and more complex?
Yeah. Well, think of it this way. The big frameworks like PyTorch or TensorFlow, they're powerful, no doubt, but it's like they're trying to move a mountain with a bulldozer.
Okay.
There's just a lot of overhead, you know? BERTorch, on the other hand, it's more like a scalpel. It's precise, minimal, and perfect for those smaller tasks where you need speed and accuracy.
I'm intrigued. So what kind of speed are we talking about here? Give me some numbers that'll make my jaw drop.
Okay, fasten your seatbelt because we're talking up to 7,000 times faster
Whoa, hold
than
on.
some of the popular frameworks out there,
7,000 times.
especially when you're dealing with smaller tasks.
Okay.
And it gets even crazier. They've shown it can be 20 times faster on tasks similar to what powers something like GPT-3.
20 times faster than GPT-3. That's insane. I mean, what's the secret sauce here? Are they like bending the laws of physics or something?
Not
Yeah.
quite, but they are using a language that you might not expect, C++.
C++ on.
Really?
Yeah, you see, by stripping away all those unnecessary layers and embracing this compile-based language, they unlock a whole new level of performance.
I thought C++ was like ancient history in the AI world. I thought everyone was using Python these days.
That's a common misconception, actually. C++ allows for a level of control and optimization that you just don't get with Python. And the kicker is, BERTorch's C++ code is so streamlined and well-written that the compile times are lightning fast. It's almost like working with a scripting language. So they've managed to make C++ both powerful and user-friendly. That's impressive.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's go back to those big frameworks for a second. Why are they so slow and clunky in comparison?
Well, the problem is they're often designed with these massive data sets and huge processing power in mind.
Yeah, makes sense.
When you're working on a smaller scale, all that extra machinery just gets in the way and leads to bottlenecks and wasted resources.
Okay, I'm starting to see the appeal here. It's like they found a way to level the playing field, giving smaller teams the power to compete with the big players.
Precisely.
But what about memory usage? Don't deep learning models usually just gobble up RAM like it's going out of style?
That's where BERTorch really shines. It takes a totally different approach to memory management processing information in a way that minimizes its footprint. We're talking about running complex models with over a million parameters using just a tiny fraction of the memory that other frameworks require.
Wait, seriously, just how small are we talking?
Get this. They ran a test with a model similar in size to GPT-3, and BERTorch used 100 times less memory than the competition.
100 times. Wow.
We're talking megabytes versus gigabytes.
Okay, you officially have my attention. This is starting to sound like something straight out of science fiction.
Yeah.
Walk me through how they achieve this memory magic. I need to understand the nitty-gritty.
It all comes down to how BERTorch handles computations. You see, most frameworks, they try to process everything at once, which eats up a ton of memory. But BERTorch takes this more serialized approach. It processes things one step at a time, and it overwrites the data as it goes.
So it's like reading a book one page at a time instead of trying to memorize the whole thing at once.
That's a great analogy, and it's incredibly efficient, especially when you're working with limited resources. Imagine running these powerful deep learning models on something like a smartwatch.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
So it sounds like BERTorch is opening up these new possibilities for AI applications, especially in these resource-constrained environments. But how does this minimalist design actually work? Like, what are the key principles that make it so efficient?
Well, one of the core principles is something called static linkage.
Static linkage.
Yeah, it might sound a bit technical, but bear with me. Basically, it means that BERTorch is designed to be completely self-contained. It doesn't rely on external libraries.
So no dependencies to worry about.
Exactly. It eliminates so many headaches that come with using these big, complex frameworks, like compatibility issues, version conflicts, all that stuff.
I see. So it's like building a house with prefabricated components instead of having to source every individual brick and nail yourself.
Exactly.
Okay, I like it. What other clever tricks do they have up their sleeve?
Another interesting design choice is their preference for native loop constructions over those more abstract indexing mechanisms that are common in Python-based frameworks.
Okay. Can you break that down for me a bit? What's the advantage of using loops in this context?
Think of it like this, Python's indexing capabilities are like using a map to navigate a city.
Okay.
It's convenient, but it can be a bit roundabout and inefficient. BERTorch's approach is more like walking directly to your destination. It's direct and often much faster.
Ah, so by cutting out the middleman, they're able to squeeze even more performance out of the code. Makes sense. But isn't this level of control and optimization typically associated with lower-level languages like C++, Y? How have they managed to do this without sacrificing usability?
That's a great question, and it gets at the heart of what makes BERTorch so remarkable. They've struck this incredible balance between power and accessibility by writing really clean and efficient C++ code. The result is a framework that's both lightning fast and surprisingly easy to use.
So it's like they've taken the best of both worlds, the raw power of C++ and the user friendliness of Python. Okay, but let's not forget about those impressive benchmarks we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
How does BERTorch actually stack up against the competition in real-world scenarios?
The BERTorch paper is packed with compelling benchmark results that demonstrate its superiority across a wide range of tasks. They tested it with tiny, small, medium, and even GPT-3-like compute graphs.
Anyway.
And the results are consistent. BERTorch consistently outperforms PyTorch, often by a significant margin.
You mentioned GPT-3 earlier. That's a massive model. Are you saying BERTorch can actually handle something that complex?
Absolutely. And not only can it handle it, but it does so with incredible efficiency. Remember those memory savings we talked about? Well, they achieved a 100x reduction in memory usage compared to PyTorch when running a GPT-3-like model.
100x. I'm running out of adjectives to describe how impressive this is. It's like they've cracked the code to deep learning efficiency. But I have to ask, is there a catch? Surely there must be some downsides to using a framework that's so radically different.
Well, there are always trade-offs to consider. One potential downside is that BERTorch is still relatively new, so it doesn't have the same level of community support or that vast ecosystem of pre-built models and tools that you find with the more established frameworks.
So it's more of a trailblazing option for those who are willing to be early adopters and maybe get their hands a little dirty.
Exactly. But for those who are pushing the boundaries of deep learning and need that extra edge in performance and efficiency, BERTorch is an incredibly compelling option. It's like a secret weapon for researchers and developers who are looking to make breakthroughs.
It's like they're giving the little guy a slingshot to take on the giants of the deep learning world. I love it. But let's shift gears for a bit and talk about something maybe a little unexpected, the impact of BERTorch on optimization theory.
Ah, yes. This is where things get really interesting. You see, BERTorch's efficient design isn't just about speed and memory. It's about challenging the way we think about deep learning algorithms themselves.
Okay, now you have my full attention. Explain this to me like I'm five.
Imagine you're trying to find the lowest point in a valley, but the terrain is really complex and there are lots of hills and dips. Traditional optimization algorithms would take a lot of measurements to find the best spot, which can be really time-consuming.
So it's like trying to navigate a maze blindfolded.
Exactly. But with BERTorch, it's like you suddenly have a pair of X-ray glasses that allow you to see through the terrain and find the optimal path much faster.
So it's not just about making the algorithms run faster, it's about enabling them to work smarter. That's fascinating. But what does this mean for the average deep learning enthusiast? Are we talking about complex mathematical concepts that are only relevant to, like, researchers?
Not at all. The beauty of BERTorch's impact on optimization theory is that it makes these advanced algorithms more practical and accessible to everyone. Algorithms that were once considered computationally expensive and time-consuming are now becoming feasible for a wider range of applications.
So it's like they're democratizing access to cutting-edge techniques,
Yeah.
giving everyone the tools to push the boundaries of what's possible with deep learning.
Precisely. And this is having a ripple effect throughout the field, leading to new discoveries and innovations that are changing the way we think about training and optimizing deep learning models.
It's like a chain reaction of awesomeness.
Yeah.
But before we get too carried away, let's bring things back down to earth for a moment. What are some specific examples of how BERTorch is being used in real-world applications?
That's a great question, and one that deserves a dedicated discussion. In the next part of our deep dive, we'll delve into the exciting world of BERTorch applications, exploring how its unique capabilities are being leveraged in areas like embedded systems, the Internet of Things, and even cutting-edge research.
Stay tuned, folks, because the future of deep learning is looking brighter than ever. Okay, so we're back and ready to explore the real-world impact of BERTorch. mean, we've talked about the speed, the memory efficiency, its potential to shake things up. But how is it actually being used out there? Like, where's the rubber meeting the road?
Well, one area where BirdTorch is really making waves is in embedded systems.
Embedded systems?
Yeah, you know those tiny computers that power everything from smartwatches to industrial robots?
Right.
They have extremely limited resources, so traditional deep learning frameworks, just they don't really work.
It's like trying to fit an elephant in a Mini Cooper.
Right? Pretty much. But BirdTorch, with that minimalist design and tiny memory footprint, it fits right in. It's like having a supercomputer in your pocket.
That's a powerful image.
Yeah.
So what kind of applications are we talking about?
Well, imagine medical devices that can analyze patient data in real time, or drones that can navigate complex environments autonomously, all without relying on a connection to some massive server farm.
That's amazing. And because the processing happens on the device itself, it also solves that whole data privacy issue, right?
Exactly. The data never has to leave the device, which is a huge win for sensitive applications like in healthcare or finance.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've got smartwatches, we've got medical devices. What about the Internet of Things? All that stuff with AI being baked into everyday objects?
Yeah.
Is that still mostly hype, or is BirdTorch making that a reality?
It's true that the IoT's full potential hasn't been realized yet, but BirdTorch is definitely one of the technologies making it happen. Think about a smart home that learns your preferences and adjusts the environment automatically. Or a factory where machines communicate and optimize production in real time.
So we're talking about a future where AI is just seamlessly woven into our lives.
It's a paradigm shift for sure, but I think ultimately a positive one. AI has the potential to solve some of the world's biggest challenges, and BirdTorch is one of the tools that's going to help make that happen.
Okay, so we've talked practical applications. What about research? You mentioned earlier that BirdTorch is changing the way we think about optimization algorithms. How so?
Well, most deep learning algorithms, they're designed to work with these large batches of data, right?
Right.
But BirdTorch, because it's so efficient at calculating gradients, it lets us use smaller batches, even down to a single data point at a time.
And what's the advantage of that?
It turns out that smaller batch sizes can actually lead to more accurate models, especially when you're dealing with complex or noisy data.
Interesting. So it's like taking smaller, more deliberate steps instead of trying to jump across a canyon in one go.
Exactly.
So essentially, BirdTorch is giving researchers the ability to build more robust and reliable AI models. That's pretty remarkable. So where do you see BirdTorch fitting into the bigger picture of the future of deep learning?
I think BirdTorch represents a real paradigm shift in how we think about deep learning frameworks. It's a move away from these big monolithic one-size-fits-all solutions and towards something more specialized, more modular and adaptable.
So it's less about using the same hammer for every problem and more about having the right tool for the right job.
Precisely. BirdTorch gives you the building blocks to create the exact system you need without any unnecessary baggage. And because it's so efficient, it can run on almost anything from tiny embedded systems to those massive cloud clusters.
It's like the Swiss Army knife of deep learning.
Diverse.
Versatile, powerful, adaptable.
I like it.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one key takeaway you want our listeners to walk away with?
The most important thing to remember is that BirdTorch is more than just a faster, more efficient framework. It's a challenge to the way things have always been done. It's a call for simplicity and transparency and adaptability in a field that can often feel overly complex and opaque.
It's a good reminder that sometimes the most powerful solutions are the simplest ones.
Exactly. And I think it's an inspiration for all of us to think outside the box, to question those assumptions, and to really strive for elegance and efficiency in everything we do.
Well said. To our listeners out there, if you're at all interested in the future of deep learning, I highly encourage you to check out BirdTorch, dive into the code, experiment with it, see what you can create. I think you might be surprised by what you discover.
The future of AI is in our hands.
Yeah.
And tools like this, they're giving us the power to build that future in a way that's both innovative and responsible.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of BirdTorch. Until next time, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible.